All right, folks, for those of you who are listening on the podcast, we are just getting ready to go live on YouTube at youtube.com/@SudsInTheSquaredCircle. I am getting the feed ready, and once I post the feed, we will be live. And here we go, about to share the link. Christy is going to be late, so I'm here on my own. But here we go. And bam, there we go. Thank you for, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Suds in the Squared Circle presents Suds News. My name is Vinny, and Christy is not here yet, but will be joining me momentarily. But the fact is that I am here, and we're going to be talking all things General Hospital, where I am getting to the point where I'm going to start it with some WWE news and notes. But before we do, I do want to welcome everybody here to Suds News, brought to you by Suds in the Squared Circle. And I do want to say that we are officially an affiliate for the WWE Shop, which is a Fanatics experience. Go to sudsandsquaredcircle.com/wrestlingmerch and buy whatever you want, whether it's going to be an NWO hat for NWO merchandise, Hell Froze Over, CM Punk merch, WrestleMania merch, and anything else that you can think of. We do get a commission off of it. So go there and buy the merch that you want. sudsandsquaredcircle.com/wrestlingmerch. Also, I am working on something big. I've been contacted about something big that may be happening next year in San Antonio, Texas, surrounding the World Class and the Von Erichs, some stuff with older wrestlers, and it's going to be based on a charity. So I do want to let everybody know those things are in the works for next year, and we'll be getting some more stuff going on. So, quick programming note, ladies and gentlemen. As you know, tonight we are here with Suds News. Tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, we have Dockside at the Bay. And this Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, we are going to have a special episode of Squared Circle News with actually, Angela Ryan Duncan's partner in Petty Prattle, Tony, and I'm not sure of her last name, but if you've got a follower, it's only one Tony D, Tony with the T, and she will be joining me. We'll be talking about the WWE draft. We'll be talking about everything that's going on in the world of the WWE and how the draft came out and how it could be made a little better. I have some ideas, and you know what? I understand. I listened to the Busted Open draft review, as well as some other people that were there. Hey, Nathan, how are you today? Welcome to the stream. Thank you for watching. And for those of you who are watching, go ahead and hit that like button, subscribe, get notified. Yeah, I've been listening to all the pundits and all the people that have been reviewing the WWE draft. And how it's used, how it may have been a little bit disappointing, how it feels not really good, and now how it's maybe a misnomer because it's not really a draft per se, other than bringing up some NXT talent to the main roster. It's more of a shakeup. But Backlash, WWE Backlash was this past Saturday in Lyon, France. And let me tell you something. It was a great show. The Bloodline is being rebuilt by Solo Sikoa, who is showing himself to be the new tribal chief. Now that Roman Reigns is taking some time away from the spotlight, he should be back by SummerSlam, I would assume. But the story there behind it is fantastic. Paul Heyman goes to, first of all, on SmackDown Friday night, Paul Heyman went to GM Nick Aldis and asked why Roman Reigns was not a part of the draft. And he never, Paul Heyman never went to Nick Aldis and said that Roman Reigns was not going to be eligible. However, apparently somebody did, because even Roman Reigns didn't say that he wasn't going to be eligible, but somebody did say it. So I'm assuming that Solo Sikoa went behind his back, and that's going to be the great story going forward. Solo needed to be pushed. Solo was the one to break out the Enforcer of the Bloodline, and now he's taking over. And I assume it's going to be a Bloodline Civil War where you have The Rock and his side versus Roman Reigns and his side. So that's the biggest thing that's going to be coming down the pike. And we'll talk about that on Wednesday night as well. Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern time, right here. Obviously, I'll be promoting it. Also, they did announce that WrestleMania 41 will be live from Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas over Easter weekend next year, April 19th and the 20th. So a little later on in April, which amazingly they could have done the later on in the Northeast, maybe be a little warmer. But either way, it's going to be later on April over Easter weekend, which kind of had some people complaining. But whatever, the fact is, it's going to be April 19th and 20th, Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, Nevada. Again, they're going to bill it as their biggest WrestleMania of all time. Every year they do it. But either way, I don't know if I'll be there. I can't guarantee it. I don't know if I'll be able to put the funds together. But you can always go over to donate and buy me a coffee slash Suds and Square Circle or patreon.com slash Suds and Square Circle and help me get to WrestleMania. But I would never ask specifically for that. I'd rather have people, if they want to donate, go ahead and donate and help the show out. Okay, so big news. Here we go. We're gonna go with more programming notes here. Big time Sudsy news. The Sudsy Awards are going to be coming up in less than 3 months. It's actually going to be in 2 months. Are going to be the Sudsy Awards. They're going to be released on Sunday, July 21st. So keep that date. Well, they're not going to be live, but either way, make sure to keep an eye on our Twix feed at Suds SQ Circle Pod because of the fact that all the news notes that you're going to need for the Sudsies are going to be posted there. That also means if you saw yesterday, I did go ahead and post the presenters that are going to be part of the Sudsy Awards this year, besides Kim and Christy and myself, who are the three main people right now with Suds and Squared Circle Media, based on our two shows. But also returning this year are going to be Matt and Kat from the 10th Floor. Max Updates GH will also be returning this year. As well as adding on, we have Angela and Tony, excuse me, from Petty Prattle. They're going to be presenting the awards, as well as David from Take Two Radio. So from Take Two Radio, the other podcast that I'm on sometimes now because of my new job. But either way, he's going to be a presenter as well. We've also got Lucretia Lyon, who used to be one of the co-hosts on GH Mini Spotlight with James Law Jr. She's not there apparently with whether it's scheduling or whatever the case may be. She's not currently on there anymore, but she's going to be a presenter for the Sudsy Awards this year. Also, Bold and the Beautiful and Wine Arm Mini Spotlight co-host Amanda Russ is going to be a presenter for the Sudsy Awards this year. Flobo Boyce, who's a wrestling fan, a friend of James Law Jr., we've been trying to connect. We're going to be doing an episode of Squared Circle News, relatively soon as well. Who's going to be on a presenter for the Sudsy Awards. The guys over at Chair Shot Sports, which is at Chair Shot Sports on Twix, they're going to be a presenter, as well as if you listen to the Jim Cornette Experience or the Jim Cornette Drive Through, Charlie from Starkville, Mississippi is going to be a presenter for the Sudsies as well. So thank you all for being presenters for the Sudsy Awards. And I can announce to you the categories. The finalized categories for the Sudsy Awards this year. And I will go ahead and read those off you. I'm not going to read the nominees. We're going to have a nomination special within the next 2 weeks, once we open up the Google form. That's right. This year, it's not going to be, Twix polling. That's good for the Soap Stars March Madness that'll be returning next year. And yes, I said Soap Stars because that's what it should be. Soap Stars March Madness instead of Soap Suds. But next year, those will be Twix polls. This year, for the Sudsy Awards, for the voting, it's going to be on a Google form. So look for the link in the next week or two, and you'll have just about 6 weeks to vote for the winners of the Sudsy Awards. And this year, the wrestling and the soap opera categories are going to be separate. They're not going to be, they're not going to be together like they were. Because, quite honestly, it was kind of difficult. It was kind of difficult to kind of pick the winners when you have wrestling and soap operas, and they don't always combine, even though there are a number of similarities with the genres. Sometimes when you're trying to choose between, when it comes to the best heel or the best, oh, crud. Let's see. I'm gonna have to do the oh, that's why. Try again. Trying to sign into Google while I'm doing this, and I got sidetracked. But either way, quite honestly, it's going to be when you're trying to choose between the baby faces, the heroes, and you're looking at like Jason Morgan and Cody Rhodes. How do you choose, right? So that's unfortunately where it comes to. Not now. Here we go. I'm trying to get in here, folks. Okay, so here we go. The Sudsy Awards 2024 voting form. We are going, here are the categories. I'm not going to go with the nominees yet. We'll have that in a couple weeks. Here are the categories for the Sudsy Awards. For soap operas, we have Hero of the Year, Villain of the Year, Couple of the Year. We've got the Soap Opera Feud of the Year. We've got the Soap Opera Kiss of the Year, which Christy actually brought it up to bring up the Kiss of the Year. So she's going to be in charge of that one. Soap Opera Plot Twist of the Year. Soap Opera Family of the Year. We've also got the Soap Opera Return of the Year. So those are the soap opera categories. For wrestling, we've got Baby Face of the Year. We've got Heel of the Year, Match of the Year, Faction of the Year, NXT Match of the Year. We are giving some love to NXT here. Wrestling Entrance Attire of the Year. That may or may not be there, but right now it's there. The Tag Team of the Year, Superstar of the Year, Wrestling Return or Newcomer of the Year, Storyline of the Year, Shock of the Year, Shock of the Year, and the Rising Star of the Year. So those are the categories for the wrestling side of the Sudsy Awards nominations. Those, like I said, the voting form will be out within the next 2 weeks, and you'll be have 6 weeks to go vote. Voting closes in the beginning of July. So what do y'all want to talk about? Christy's still on her way here. She'll be here soon. One thing I do want to address, and I'm going to bring it up again when Christy's here. Couple weeks ago, when Angela Ryan Duncan was co-host with me, she had brought up, actually, it was even before WrestleMania, I believe. She had brought up the fact that Nicholas Alexander Chavez cleaned out his locker, his dressing room, said his goodbyes when he left General Hospital back in December. We all know that he left GH. It was allegedly originally going to be temporarily, and he's filming the Monster miniseries on Netflix regarding the Menendez brothers, and he's knee deep in that. Well, Angela had brought up that he's not coming back. Well, with all the speculation and the fact that Soap Opera Digest and other publications and dirt sheets got a hold of the fact that Nicholas was not coming back last month, they started running with the story. And of course, the people are, the Sabrina fans are all up in arms. I actually got blocked by somebody earlier today who wanted to quote just spread lies and say, oh, well, Nicholas Alexander Chavez is he's ready to he's going to stay off, but he's open to coming back when Tabian is not coming back, ready to leave, and she's not going to re-sign either, and then all this other stuff that's never been reported on or lied about. So never been reported, no rumors, no nothing, just pull it out of their ass. And I said false, completely false, and I got blocked for it. And so I did. I showed them the fact that this person put out a false tweet or post, excuse me. And then when they got called out by numerous people, I wasn't the only person that said that their information was completely false. And then they blocked me about it. So they're only being called out on their garbage. Welcome, Christy.
Who blocked you? Who blocked you? Who blocked my boy Vinny? Who did it? Who
well,
did it?
I did call him out on Twix earlier today. But before I go to that, I do want to well, I'll give it, I'll go ahead and show them, or I will let everybody know who the one is that blocked me because of the fact. Let's see. All right, so this
Yeah, we're gonna call you out. You can't hide behind a screen name on this show, okay? Sorry.
The screen name is at Shillin Alicia, Shillanalycia. They put out this start garbage about Nicholas Alexander Chavez saying that
There we
he
go.
knows that Tabiana is not gonna re-sign or renew her contract, and that he's welcome. He's open to coming back just to usher her out. None of this crap even came out. And so I said it was completely false, and the person decided to reply to me saying that it quote unquote triggered me or some BS. And I said, so I put him on blast. And I said, this person decided to spread false information, was called out on it by numerous people, and then blocks you when you tell them they're lying. They're basically the Dave Meltzer of the soap world. But
That's Twitter for you. And then Sabrina fans do get easily triggered and they seem very overly sensitive. As I'm not saying all of them are like that, but there is a seems
right,
to be
not
a
all of
vast majority
them.
on Twitter.
Yeah. There are a huge segment of that fandom that easily get triggered, and they still do. But here's the actual post from Nicholas Alexander Chavez on Twix. He said, I'm so appreciative of the opportunity that GH gave me, and I wouldn't be as busy as I am professionally if it weren't for the talented producers, writers, directors, and fellow actors. Frank Valentini is a mentor and a friend, and we've had some pretty extensive conversations about my future on the show. While there are no current plans for me to return, we are still talking very openly about future possibilities for Spencer in Port Charles. Beyond the people I've already mentioned, I want to take some time to thank and honor the GH fan base, especially the Sabrina fans, who must be the most loyal and kind fan base in the universe of entertainment. I wouldn't go far to say kind,
Sorry.
but
They're not kind. They're not all kind. Not all of them. Not 100%.
that's my
No.
journalistic opinion.
Not 100%. Sorry, bro.
And
Sorry.
then
They're kind to you. They're 100% kind to you, but
yes.
not to other people.
And then words fail to show the depth of my gratitude. Thank you. I love you all very, very much. And I just basically said, good luck in your future endeavors. Your future is bright. Because that's exactly it. The future is bright for that young man. Even after the monster show, you know, and I don't expect to see him back. First of all, if they do bring him back as Spencer Cassidy, it's not going to be for a while. So if they, you know, and then there are people now that were so against recasting Spencer, but they're so amped up in Sabrina that they just want somebody in that role of Spencer to be with Tatiana, to be with Trina. But you can't just, first of all, Spencer or Nicholas Alexander Chavez and Sydney Michaela had tremendous chemistry. When Tatiana took over, the chemistry was okay, in my opinion. I know I may get canceled by the
season. I think it was okay at first, and then I think they kind of found their groove. Got better.
Oh, yeah.
So that's my opinion. I thought it was just okay at first, too, but it grew. As the storyline progressed, it grew. They found their footing with their chemistry, with their own kind of chemistry.
Right. But the simple fact is, they're not looking to recast, or originally they did put out a casting call, and this is all information from Angela. We talked about, they did put out the casting call for Spencer, but ultimately chose not to recast him at this point in time. But they are bringing somebody new on, apparently. So here's the biggest thing. Now here's some more dirt that, as the kids, what do the kids say? Tea.
Kids say the tea. Spill some tea.
Yes. Which I don't even know how the hell that came out.
I mean, they also say banger and that album slaps. So that's like
banger is decent. I mean, you know, that's okay. I use banger for when it comes to wrestling. Either way, I don't know where they came with spilling the tea.
I've used that in my own life. So.
Things have kind of gone above and over my head at times. You know, I'll admit that, you know, I'm a little older. And, you know, sometimes I feel like Grandpa Simpson yelling at the clouds. Either way, the dirt, the rumors, the gossip, the tea, if you will. Angela said they were bringing on a new character in the age range of Joss and Trina, and it turned out, you know, that was allegedly going to be part of Brooklyn's family, and he was going to be like a guitar player. You know, he is in real life a guitar player, musician, you know, or something, or maybe a violinist or something to that effect. And he would be coming in that age range, and that was going to theoretically be the next love interest for Trina. Well, I didn't watch today's episode yet, but just judging by the outrage, I should say, on Twix, is that I guess this person may be a relative of Blaze and Natalia. Maybe it's Blaze's brother, who's also a musician. So maybe they're going with in that direction instead of Brooklyn's family member from Bensonhurst. Okay, here's where people are getting pissed off. I see so much hate for Blaze and for her mother and the family. They don't want the family expanding.
Really?
Yes, I do. I don't know why. I don't know why people hate on people. Like, if you don't like a character, or if you don't feel a character or whatever, or if you prefer the older school, the veterans, the older, you know, established families, you know, it's like, but think about this. And this is where I really find the fans fickle, because they truly, truly are. Okay. When it comes to establishing a new family, you have to. If it wasn't for the love of Trina, you wouldn't get Portia in the picture. You know, Curtis was already there, but you wouldn't have expanded to Marshall and having that whole nucleus of the, you know, Ashford. Mm-hmm. But then you go ahead and now you have another family coming in. Blaze came in as a bit part, as just the partner, duet partner of Chase, when he was singing and helping to get Link ousted and having him uncovered as the Me Too movement type of deal storyline. And then we thought Blaze was gone, but then she came back to town and now she's in a relationship with Christina, which I absolutely love. I'm so far on team crazy, it's not funny. I'm very
Yeah,
happy.
I mean they needed another LGBTQ pairing on Jade, so it's fine with me. They
And
need that representation, so
and now that Blaze's mother is there, people are hating on her. Now, I will go ahead.
not a huge fan of Blaze's mom. But it adds another layer to her backstory, right? So, I
Oh
mean,
yeah.
what's wrong with that?
I'm, and it's like, here's the thing. I understand, the character. I'm not a huge fan of the character of Blaze's mom. The actor, what, Eva LaRue,
Just phenomenal. Yeah.
phenomenal. Absolutely. And her and Maurice Bernard have tremendous chemistry.
Yeah, I thought they were chem testing them for sure.
And they might be, I guess she's sticking around for a while, again, we thought it was going to be that she was going to be there for, a Friday and a Monday, and then all of a sudden she's back. She's trying to control Blaze's singing career, and her deception career. She had a big blow up with Maxie this week about how, she's got to be about how Brooklyn should be focusing on her music instead of deception and the wedding, and how all this is going to affect Blaze's single. And Blaze's single, new single, was okay, but it wasn't the hit. It should have been just a lot of, I don't know, I don't know, what kind of real world storyline is it supposed to be, like a Britney Spears type deal where the mother has so much control over Blaze that, she has to get emancipated somehow?
That's, I don't know.
I just hope that, they don't have Blaze shave her head. That was probably one of the darkest parts of Britney Spears' life.
My God. Yeah, let's hope not. That's beautiful hair she's got.
But either way, I want to see. I don't get all the hate. I know they want, the fans. They want to see the legacy families, right? Right now there are no Cassadines outside of Valentine. There's no, you have the Webbers, but they're very, very rarely shown, or the Baldwin Webbers. Elizabeth was shown this week. She, had some talking with Aiden, and had to have Willow pick Aiden up from school. But, because Aiden was, I don't know, he found this is okay. So I don't know if they touched on it today, but did you see the scene where Aiden came to the hospital and he had red paint on his backpack?
Yes.
Like I don't understand why Elizabeth was so concerned. Like,
Right, me
is she
too. Me
thinking
too.
that he's out, tagging things and then graffitiing and spray painting stuff? Or, I don't, so she ends up calling his guidance counselor and saying,
Yeah, that
so
seemed a little weird. Yeah.
that was very strange for me. Like, I know they're going to go in a direction with it, but I don't know what the direction is at this point.
Well, I don't either, and I texted you about this earlier that I read an article and I got the link from it from like social media, I think it was Instagram, about how Aiden came out to his mom over baking, and I was like, wait, that happened on Thursday? Like they mentioned Thursday's episode. And I'm like, I'm going on Hulu, and I'm like, I watched Thursday. He wasn't on Thursday. I'm confused. What happened? And I'm like looking through the episodes. I'm looking through Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, thinking I missed something. I'm like, what did I miss? Like I need to know about Elizabeth and her kids. So I'm like, I don't remember Aiden coming out already to his mom personally and them having a discussion about that. If I missed it, please point me in the right direction. I don't think they've actually discussed it, have they?
They have. Not in so many words, but he did say that he liked the boy.
At school.
Yes. The name was Tobias.
Oh, right. I do kind of vaguely remember this conversation.
They were baking, because I think Aiden came out to Finn first, if I'm not mistaken, or said something.
Ah, come on. You came out to Finn first, bro? Really?
Jeez, bro, really? Oh, man.
All right, whatever. I'll get over it.
And then ended up coming out to Elizabeth. I believe that's what it was. But yeah, because I do remember them talking over baking. Because I remember that kind of sly, cheesy smile that Elizabeth had, as if she's happy that he finally came out to her. But yeah, that I found on Instagram, there's even a wrestling news site on Instagram that literally posts stuff from 3 or 4 months ago, and it's just as breaking news. So I don't know whether they're based in a different country that doesn't get stuff as regularly, because what's weird is
to a friend of mine, I gotta look it up. I'm gonna look it up while you
Because Wait. What's weird is there's an account on Instagram that I talked to. The account is Salem Snooper, a big Days of Our Lives fan, and a big WWE fan as well. And I was talking to them, and they were telling me that, like, WWE shows over in, let's say, the UK or whatever, they're on a month delay. Or something to that effect. If they don't watch it live, or if they don't have cable, or they don't have Discovery Plus or whatever, that everything is actually, if I pull it up and I go to
Instagram. I found the article, by the way, and it was dated recently, May 2nd, but I read it wrong. That's my thing.
Oh, okay.
It was a Michael Fairman article, and said it was about the switch, the actor switch, how one day it was one Aiden and then the next day it was a new actor. And I was like, what happened? They're saying the switch happened on Thursday's episode. Not saying that Aiden came out as gay in Thursday's episode, because right after that it says, recently Aiden came out as gay to his mom after admitting his interest in one of his classmates. So the actor switch happened on Thursday, but not like him coming out to his mom. That was earlier. Yeah. So yep. I just read that part like wrong and remembered it. So I was like, wait a minute. I thought he already, I'm confused.
So yeah.
But no, it was just the actor switch that happened on Thursday. Cause I was like, wait a minute. Wasn't it a different Aiden like 2 days ago? I'm confused.
Okay. So yeah, this person was talking, I guess they do get the shows live, but when it's the same thing with the WWE network, that it, like Peacock, it comes on a month later. Okay. So they don't, it doesn't have on demand. So I misunderstood. Either way. So yeah, again, miscommunication happens, or sometimes misreading or misunderstanding certain things, but it's okay. We're all human here. All right. So why don't we get into some GH news and notes of stuff that happened last week. I did bring up that Blaze's mom kind of cornered Maxie and went off on Maxie about Brooklyn, and the fact that, so correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't Blaze signed to be the face of Deception? So why isn't she, what exactly is she doing for Deception if she's not doing the Home and Heart TV shows? I know Natalia put up a stink about that, but what I want to know is, what exactly is she doing? Is she doing magazine layouts that we're not seeing?
I'm not sure how I feel about the whole Deception thing. I'm pleased with, I will say I'm pleased with Lois and them choosing Lois as the spokesperson. I thought that was great. The other stuff kind of goes over my head with the whole Maxie being mad at Lucy and those whole shenanigans. I'm just like, eh.
Well, I can understand completely where Maxie's coming from when it comes to Lucy, because here's the thing. Lucy is, how do I say this? She's a fantastic, you know, Lynn Herring is fantastic in the role of Lucy Go. But she is somebody who is very me-centric, very personal, you know, everything is about me. And, you know, yeah, she did start deception. But when you're going on a show to market your product, you have to worry and be product-centric, not yourself. And when it comes to, you know, her going on Home and Heart, and when, you know, Maxie and even Scotty brought up the numbers saying that the you know, sales really didn't start until, you know, Sasha came on to relieve you. She's just, you know, she didn't understand. She's just, oh, well, I geared them up and I got them, you know, the sales because of the life story. No, you know. So the fact that they went ahead and now they have Lois in there, and that's the biggest problem that Maxie has against Lucy, is Lucy's not trying to sell the product. She just likes to hear herself talk, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing. Because, you know, you even see that on the Nurse's Ball every time she ends up, you know, on stage in nothing but negligee. It's just all about her. Let's see. So we do have Lois now, who pitched the, what is it, not, it's not the Deceptor anymore, it's another Decepticon or Deceptive, the newest you know, face cream or makeup. What,
like a face cream?
Yeah,
Deceptor.
I don't think it wasn't the Deceptor anymore this time. So I don't know, Deceptive or some other type of thing. And Lois did it perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And Lois is going to be the new spokesperson, which, you know, it's, I'm anxious to see how that turns out. Cause Lois, with that Italian, you know, Italian New Yorker accent, you know, from Bensonhurst, and she's a loud one. I think she'd be able to pull it off, but I can't wait. All right. We also had the first meeting this week of Jason and Dex.
Yes.
Fantastic scene. Do you think that Dex is Jason's son?
I'm not really 100% positive on that. But I find it interesting that they put them in scenes together.
Yep.
Maybe. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility.
So I was part of my very first Twixt Space this past week. Actually, Angela hosted it, and she had put up a poll, who should Dex's father be? The people in the running were Jason, Jagger, and Dante. Personally, I don't think it was Dante until I don't think it would be Dante unless Dante had a child with Brenda. Could it be Jagger or could it be Jason? Who knows? It could be somebody completely else, somebody else completely out of the realm of possibility, out of the ideas that we've thrown out. I personally wouldn't mind seeing him as AJ's son, but as Angela pointed out, there's no story there because AJ's dead. So you really can't, you know, do anything with it. I mean, could he potentially be Drew's son? I mean, which, if you think about it, let's say Drew had a child years ago and either didn't know about him or put him up for adoption or whatever the case was. Because, well, we know that Drew had a son in Oscar, but that's kind of almost doesn't get recognized anymore because of the change in Drew's and, Oscar passing away. Maybe get another kid before Oscar, because Drew was a Navy SEAL. Dex was in the, I think, was he a Navy, in the Marines? I know he's in the Armed Forces. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that it could be Drew's son, and they both had the drive to go into the Armed Forces. So I mean, it could be, that's a possibility as well. But Dex and Jason talked about Sonny, about Joss. Jason told Dex that he wouldn't allow Sonny to bring harm to him. How, what, you know, what else did you get out of that conversation?
Trying to remember how that went. Mean, for me, I think what I got out of it was it was good for them to talk about Sonny, and I think they talked about Jocelyn, right?
Yes, they did.
Trying to refresh my memory here. So what I remember was like them talking about Sonny and kind of relating on that, and I think Jason gave Dex some like kind of like advice, So I thought that was pretty good. So if Dex happens to be Jason's son or whatever, I mean, I'm not opposed to that. But I think it's good for them to like, I wouldn't mind them being like friends, because Dex was like Sonny's right-hand man after Jason left last time. So I
Yeah.
wouldn't mind them, being friends.
No, I agree. However, Dex was kind of at the center of some other conversations this week. Sonny warned Dante about Dex, being a, he, first of all, that Dex was a plant by Michael, and because Michael had second thoughts, they put him back in the, organization to protect Sonny, and he was a mole, so you can't trust him. And he put it out there that Dante told him, if it wasn't for Dex, I wouldn't be alive, and Dex helped save Ava as well. So maybe Dex isn't all bad. But either way, Sonny did warn Dante and said, you gotta watch him. I can't trust him. I don't like that he's in the organization or are going to be a cop because he knows too much. That's the part that's worrying, Sonny. But we know that Sonny's kind of very paranoid at this point in time. We know that Sonny is, he's not getting his meds correctly. And the thing that I was very shocked at, I guess, was when Carly came into the apartment and ran directly into his bathroom to check his meds to see if he was taking them. Like, What are you going to find out? You're going to find a pill bottle. It's a full pill bottle. Do you know whether or not he's taking them every night or just got a refill? Like, are you able to do that kind of math in your head to count the number of pills and stuff? But she does recognize that something's wrong. So, you know, apparently Carly told him to stay out of his life or stay out of her life. And, you know, she came over and said that Donna couldn't go there because she's not safe with him. Or, you know, so everybody is turning their back on Sonny. You know, so not only is he cutting himself off from his support system and his friends and family and all that, they're also recognizing the change and saying, you know, no, doing what has to be done for their child, for their family, for their children, and keeping, you know, Sonny away. And the only person that's there is Ava. And she likes that control, and you can see it.
Yeah.
She did have a conversation with, I believe she had a conversation with Nina. Was it this week? Or was it last week? She had a conversation with Nina last week. This week, Ava had a conversation with Nicholas. It's good to see Adam Huss on screen. Yeah. But Nicholas is being transferred to a different prison. So he'll be out of Port Charles. He won't be in Pentonville anymore. I don't understand why they're doing that. I don't know. I honestly don't know what their plans are. I mean, I know that Adam Huss is going to be Nicholas going forward should they bring him back full time, but I don't know why, you know, they're moving him out of Port Charles. There's no reason for that unless it's overcrowding. I figured that, you know, Nicholas could be a good mole inside Pentonville to see what's going on. Especially with, you know, Brennan in there and all right, let's see. So we know that John came over and talked to Jason and, you know, asked him what's going on with Pikeman. What's going on in progressing the case. And Jason's like, nothing. I haven't been able to get close to anybody and I'm working on it. And John brought up the fact that he went to go see Carly first. He didn't go to see, you know, anybody else except for Carly. And then Jason kind of threw it back in his face and said, you did too. You went to go see Carly at the diner. You know, first thing. So they're kind of, I don't know whether it's on the same page or they're kind of just working through their commitment at this point. But, you know, now Anna knows that Jason is, you know, covering for Carly and the RICO charges. I want to know what the charges stem from. Was it from the first time that she, you know, had to go to the meeting because Jason couldn't? And, you know, Sonny was in Nixon Falls and, you know, perhaps she wasn't as secure as she could have been because she was dealing with having to make sure her kids were okay and everything. It's a possibility, I guess, but I don't know. We know that Jason will always protect Carly first and foremost. I don't know if them getting together in terms of a relationship is in the cards. They kind of put it off to the side for right now because of what's going on. And Jason doesn't want to tell Carly that he's, you know, kind of putting his life on hold for her.
Yeah. I mean, I still think it's a possibility they could be a couple down the road, but for now, I think they're just kind of in this period where it's like an adjustment to him being back, and you know, she's got this thing with John Cates going on, so.
Yeah, I know they were chem testing them, and
I think they are. Yeah.
I mean, theoretically, that would provide a lot of good story. If John and Carly get into a relationship, then Carly finds out that she's the target of the investigation. She's the reason why Jason was away for 2 years and undercover, and you know, working with the FBI. You know, that relationship would blow right up. Because Carly doesn't take shit from anybody. And for, you know, for her to find out that he's holding, you know, her charges over her best friend's head to get him to do what, you know, to get him to do what he needs, what he wants him to do, that's not going to play well. All right. So... moving on. All right, so Natalia seems to be getting under everybody's skin in Port Charles, because then she goes later on in the week to go see Alexis. And it's funny for me watching the scenes, knowing Nancy Legrand's persona in real life. But also seeing Alexis kind of portray something similar, and how Natalia is talking to Alexis and concerned that their daughters are in a relationship, and Nancy and Alexis like, yeah, your point, like,
yeah, okay.
She's like, what's your point? Like, why are you so worried about it? It's 2024. It shouldn't matter, you know, what people think, especially, you know, because Natalia's worried because Christina's carrying Molly's baby, so she's pregnant. So if they're seen in public, the public perception could be that they're together and having a child. And, you know, it's like, Alex, like, your point? Who cares? Like, it's 2024. They did choose to bring a child into the world together as a couple. You know, that's their choice. You know, it's like, so... she's just ruffling a lot of feathers. She's rubbing people the wrong way. I applaud, you know, the writers to put that scene in, you know, because, again, you don't want to see... I mean, we knew going into this that Blaze's parents were ultra-Catholic, ultra-conservative, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why she didn't even come out to them as being gay or bi or whatever she chose to be. But maybe that's the wrong word choice. So don't cancel me, folks. I chose the wrong word. You know, whatever she identifies as, rather than, you know. But I do feel that, you know, they're having that conversation because, especially with Alexis, because she is so ultra-progressive. And, you know, and I have to, you know, and the fact that Christina does have the Corinthos Davis Center for LGBTQIA alphabet soup youth, that there's a support system, which I have a huge problem with the fact that it's open and we never got to see grand opening ceremony. I that would have been such a great opportunity to bring in, you know, to have Christina and Blaze there representing the community. But then you have Terry, you could add Terry there representing the trans community, because she actually is transgender. And, you know, whatever else, you know, you could have had so many other people, and just have that as a plot point, as a story, you know, but they chose not to. And I'm kind of upset that they chose not to.
Yeah.
All right. I got to ask you, what happened to TJ? Like, all of a sudden, he seems to be where Molly was at the beginning of this, and Molly seems to be where TJ was at the beginning of this. Like, they switched roles.
Right.
Why is TJ just so hell-bent on Christina not, you know, doing what's right for the baby, you know, because she decided to go to a bachelorette party and didn't drink and just had words with Jocelyn? Like,
right.
I understand you while you're a child, but I mean, think about it. Growing up in the 80s and you know, I can guarantee you that when Jordan was pregnant with TJ, she didn't just stay in bed all day for 9 months and not do anything. She went out, she had her life, and nothing happened to him. Like, I think that bothers me, and it's not trying to be non-sympathetic or non-compassionate to the people who can't have children of their own because of whatever reason. You know, you want a child. My sister is a single mother, and she went through a process to get impregnated, you know? But again, she carried her own baby. It wasn't like she had to have a surrogate. But she also, you know, lived her life. She didn't stay in bed, you know, for 9 months, you know, because she was so scared about losing the baby. Like, I think, you know, and I think TJ as a doctor should know better that, you know, you don't have to be an absolutely perfect, you know, person, perfect health, healthy person in order to have a child.
Yeah. It seems like they kind of backtracked with his character. Like, he seemed fine at first with Christina having the baby, and now all of a sudden he's having all these doubts. Like, oh my gosh, like, she shouldn't be, you know, having a words or a fight with Jocelyn, what about the baby, blah 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 blah. Like, why, like he was all good for months, and now all of a sudden it seems like he's got all these doubts and doesn't know if he can trust Christina to have their baby, and it's just,
right,
seems a little backwards. Seems like they're taking a few steps backwards with it, and I'm like, well, you know, wouldn't you have thought about this before when you agreed to have Christina have their baby? Like, I don't.
Yeah, but again, I mean, I did like seeing Jocelyn go up to Christina and apologize for how she said it, and, you know, what she said at the bachelorette party, and, you know, and Christina basically said, no, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that you were being truthful. You know, so they did kind of patch things up. But, you know, and maybe Molly kind of over-exaggerated the, you know, the situation by saying she got into a heated argument or heated fight with Christina, you know, and said, no, she didn't get into anything physical, it was just words, you know. So, I mean, again, comes back to communication. All right. I have to say, I really enjoyed Thursday's episode because there was a lot going on. There was a lot going on in the Quartermain household. There were kids of all ages. Aiden was there. You know, Elizabeth asked Willow to pick Aiden up from school. So Aiden was there. And then, you know, Chase and Finn brought Violet over there. And with Wiley and Leo and James and Georgie and, you know, they had a full house of kids, which is great. You know, so they're just frolicking around and playing around like kids do on spring break. But the part that I have to say really got me was when they run into the boathouse, and, you know, because Wiley wants to bring Michael a sandwich or a lot part of lunch or whatever it was. And when they go in there and they break the plate, you know, and Willow and Michael are upstairs having their, you know, intimacy, their sexual prowess together. They hear the plate break, and Michael goes to the door, and Wiley said, "Oh, I don't know where my dad is." And then Violet said, "Oh, maybe they're up in bed."
Mm-hmm.
And that look between Georgie and Aiden, or was it Danny? I think it was Georgie and Aiden, was priceless. Like that knowing look, and thank God for Cody coming in and saying, "Hey, no, come on, let's go back to the house." That really avoided a disaster, which I don't even think soap fans would enjoy, that kind of a disaster. But that look, that knowing look, which, whatever, you know, kids learn about these things earlier and earlier all the time. They're not as innocent as we like to choose, but you still got to protect them at some point. But yeah, that look was priceless. And thank God for Cody coming in and saying, "Hey, kids, no, you're not going upstairs."
Right.
And then the quote from Michael to Willow saying, you know, remind me to give Cody a raise. That was another one. I liked that episode. Like, there was a lot of good scenes with Tracy and Gregory, you know, and the fact that, you know, they're just talking about Luke and about, you know, Tracy feeling just lonely, and that she didn't think she would ever be able to love somebody, but then Luke came around, and just tremendous. Tracy being vulnerable is not something you see all the time, and it's been happening a lot more lately. All right, let's see. What else haven't we talked about? Willow questioning her career choice as a nurse. You know, too many overnight shifts, and she's not seeing her kids enough. You know, Michael, you know, and she even told Michael, and I really liked how she told Michael that, you know, "I didn't want you paying everything for me. I wanted to work. I didn't like the idea of you taking care of me and everything." You know, so I kind of like that she's down to earth. She didn't grow up with money, so she's always had to work for herself, and she always wanted to make sure that if, God forbid, anything happened, she can continue to live and earn and everything. That's the way it should be. That's real life. And I kind of liked how that went. But now she's questioning whether she should be a nurse because she's missing too much time with the kids. Listen, I know that kind of idea is a real thought, but at the same time, you make it work. You know, if you want to have a career, you make it work. She chose to go from teaching to nursing, and knowing full well that nursing was going to come with overnight shifts and hospitals are 24 hours a day. If you didn't want to work 24 hours, you know, a day, you go work for a private practice. You go work for a doctor's office where you're, you know, only working Monday to Friday, maybe Saturdays, in the, you know, in the day, not night. They don't show enough of those nurses and people, but I digress. I just don't know where the storyline is going. Well, you know, because there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of single women out there who are single mothers, I should say, that are out there working overnight shifts, sleeping during the day. You know, and sleeping while the kids are at school. I had somebody when I was working at a hotel, and it's not nursing, but she worked overnight, put her kids on the bus when she got home, went to bed, and then got up when the kids came home. That's how you do it as a nurse, as somebody who works night shift. You deal with it, you alter your schedule for it. I don't know if that's necessarily going to turn people against, well, I mean, people are already against Willow as it is. But all right. Anything that you want to add about that story?
Not really. I mean, it's nice to see Michael and Willow have their little alone time, intimate scene, but they're still pretty bland, to me. They're still pretty vanilla.
Yeah.
So I wish they would spice them up a little bit to make them a little bit more interesting.
Yeah, I
But
can understand
it
that.
is what it is.
All right. So next up, Drew and Nina, they go visit the senator. And, the senator's like, I have an appointment with Nina, not with this gentleman right here. And, Nina's like, oh, well, this is the head of Aurora Media. And, Drew's charming the guy and saying, oh, well, I want to make sure this is all off the record. I have a business proposal. I'm not about to railroad you or put this as an interview, but I do have an idea. And then, he goes into his pitch. All right, so correct me if I'm wrong. The guy comes out and says, listen, I have cancer. I'm going to be stepping down. I'm not going to run for re-election. My wife is going to take care of everything when things happen, or whatever the case was. Then Drew goes into his pitch and says, hey, we want to do something at the waterfront. I think at the waterfront or whatever. We want to do, there's a couple, oh no, there's a couple of piers that are not being used in town. We want to beautify them. We want to do something, with them, And he's pitching his idea while the guy just said, oh, well, I have cancer and I'm not gonna, run for re-election and all this. And then Drew's like, oh, well, what about your legacy? I don't know if somebody is, if they're dealing with cancer, if they're worried about their legacy too much. Maybe I'm reading too much into it,
Right.
but Drew himself has been a little cringe over the past, number of months anyways. Just ever since, Jason came back, and even beforehand, I think after he got out of prison, he kind of started making really bad choices. I think that's what it boils down
Right.
to.
Yeah.
Anything else? Anything else at all, that we haven't gone?
Well, Chase and Brooklyn had a cute little scenes, when Brooklyn was trying to be the spokesperson for deception and her mom was
Yes.
trying to get her to do it. And they had this conversation about how he was like, oh, he looks uncomfortable, a
Yes.
little uncomfortable. And she's like, yeah, this is not my thing,
Which kind
so.
of, I guess that kind of throws me for a loop, being that she's a performer, she's a former singer, she should know how to sell something. Because you have to especially sell your music. Like, that doesn't vibe with me. I mean, the fact that she's not that, I don't know, not able to perform in front of the camera. I don't
I think
know.
it's because it's like, because it's not music, it's like selling a beauty product, and I don't think she's as into
Right. She may
beauty
not be as
products as
into
she
it.
was
Right.
into singing and being a performer.
Yeah,
So.
I guess I can understand that. She's just not like, it's not her thing, I guess. Way to dollar, but I did, you know, I like Chase and Brooklyn together. I think they're, you know, and I can't wait for the wedding. Wedding is going to be happening during May sweeps,
I
within the next
figured.
couple weeks.
Yeah, figured
And
as well.
also could be the end of Gregory during May sweeps as well. So I don't know if something is necessarily going to happen at the wedding. I guess Natalia is trying to, again, ruffle feathers, trying to get a way to get invited to the wedding. And apparently, from what I'm understanding, is that Sonny asks her to be his plus one instead of Ava. And that causes a little bit of a rift between Sonny and Ava. So it remains to be seen how that goes. I believe that's going to happen in another couple weeks. Again, folks, for those of you who are watching, thank you so much for watching. Go ahead, hit that like button, subscribe, get notified. If you're listening on the podcast feed, give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Also, you can go ahead and go to sudsandsquarecircle.com, fill out the form to be a guest, or if you want to just leave a review, go right ahead. Again, sudsandsquarecircle.com is where you find everything that you need to know from Suds News right here, brought to you by Suds and the Squared Circle and Dockside at the Bay. And again, like I said, tomorrow night, 10 p.m., Dockside at the Bay right here where you're watching this show. That'll be 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. And then when this Wednesday, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, we're going to be having an episode of Squared Circle News Live with Tony from Pretty Prattle, which is Angela's, you know, Tony is Angela's partner, or yeah, Angela's partner. And she'll be with me. We'll be going over all things WWE draft, and going over the Backlash pay-per-view and anything else that goes, you know, maybe the King and Queen of the Ring tournament, that's going to be in full swing by then, that started tonight on Monday Night Raw, live from Hartford, and I forgot about it. But anyways, let's see, what else did we talk about? Okay, oh yeah. Cody and Sasha, I am so happy to see them finally having their couple scenes together. They finally kissed, you know, and Cody told Sasha, as long as I'm in the picture, you're never gonna have to worry about a place to live.
Yeah, that was like one of the highlights of the week for me, is seeing them get together because I've kind of warmed up to Cody now over time. And then Sasha this week, it's like there was like a light switch went off in her, and she was like, you know what? This guy is actually a really, really good guy, and I really like him. And it was kind of like she finally saw him as more than a friend.
Yes.
And I think she kind of was like, you know what? He's waited long enough. He's been very patient with me, and he's, you know, just so supportive. And you know, he himself said, "I'm Team Sasha, and I'm here for you, and I'll support you, and I'll make sure you have a place to live." And all this. So, I mean, I think he just kind of like grew on her over
Oh, yeah.
time and kind of like broke down her walls and her, you know, her insecurities maybe about moving on with somebody else. And he was very patient, and now he's gonna get rewarded for that. So, there you
Although
go.
I love the fact when, you know, because we know that she's still in her trial period for being the cook for the Quartermains. And, you know, Tracy's like, okay, well, Olivia had no right just giving you the position, but, you know, you have to be able to do X, Y, Z. And she tells Aiden, you know, pick out a recipe, any recipe, and, you know, flip over the book and out of the cookbook. And Tracy's like, yes, that's what I want for dinner at 7 o'clock, whatever the hell it was, some French dish. And Sasha makes, you know, lunch beautifully. And I like seeing Aiden in the kitchen helping her. He's like, hey, you know, I'm a baker, but I wouldn't mind helping you cook or whatever. And, you know, I like that. I like that the kids are getting involved in more than just playing, right? I mean, the character of Aiden has always been, you know, somebody in the kitchen, you know, whether it's baking or whatever. But I like the fact now he's a teenager and, you know, he wants to become a cook. You know, they, you know, ABC is, you know, the Food Network is part of the ABC. No, was it? No, it's not. Food Network is with Discovery. So, never mind. There could have been a nice crossover there. I mean, hell, if the Chew was still around, they could have, you know, done something with that again. But they got rid of the Chew to put on Good Afternoon America or GMA3 or whatever the hell it was. But anyways, it was nice to see, you know, maybe Aiden will become a chef or a baker and have his own restaurant and maybe take over the restaurant that Sunny runs and actually feed people and have customers rather than it just being a front for his office. But that's pretty much it. I don't know what else there was. Do you have anything else that you want to go over from the week?
Not that I can particularly think of right now. Let me look at the recaps real quick on Hulu and just hurry, refresh my memory a little bit. Let's see. Oh, there was Ava who confided in Nicholas and visited him at prison. That was interesting.
Yeah, that, I mean, she went over there. She said that, you know, she's been living at the condo with Sunny and, you know, her and Avery were there. And at first it was about protection and now it's about more. And Nicholas kind of called her out on it and said, you know, you like the power. You like the, you know, the fact that you're in a place of importance. And she admitted to it. She said, yeah, I'm the only one that Sunny can trust. And then the fact that Nicholas is being transferred to a different prison, I mean maybe they'll be back at some point, but who knows why they're doing that. Let's see, what else was there? I mean, there was a good scene later on in the week with Jocelyn and Trina. And, you know, Trina being what she was originally, and I know that I'm going to get hate for it, but Trina being what she was originally meant to be, just Jocelyn's friend. You know, and, but there, you know, there's so many people that are just so hateful or unhappy because Jocelyn gets the good scenes and Trina doesn't get that much, or Trina, we don't get to see Trina grieve. Or, you know, any of this. And, like, that couple wasn't meant to happen. Like, that's the whole thing. It's like, it wasn't meant to happen. It, you know, it was done because of the fans, you know, the fans' reaction to it. And the fans started shipping Sabrina before Spencer and Trina even started shipping each other. You know, so it's, you know, and then they thought they were going to get up to super couple status.
I think people overshot that, like, by a lot. I mean, not to say they couldn't have been a super couple. I think the potential was there, but I think people like the interracial couple with them so much that they were just like so overexcited. And now, you know, there's all that drama on Twix about, oh well, who's gonna Trina be gonna be with next? Should she be with the, you know, a person of her own color? Should she be with another white person? Like there's all this like back and forth, and then there's this the whole racism element that comes into it. It's just,
why does the race even matter? Like, that's my biggest thing. Like, who cares? Like, I know that you have to have representation on TV. I get that. I'm not I'm not saying who cares when it comes to that. Yes, you need to have the representation of interracial. You need to have the representation of the same-sex couples and the trans, you know, everything else. I get that. But, like, what makes it, if you don't like Sabrina together, or if you don't like Spencer and Trina, or you think they didn't have chemistry... I personally didn't think the chemistry was all there. Yes, it started rocky, got better, but like I didn't, it was kind of meh for me. Like it wasn't, you know, it had nothing to do with the fact that it was interracial. It was just two actors, in my opinion, didn't have that kind of chemistry that you would think when it comes to, a quote-unquote super couple. But again, if you look at the super couples of the past, they started with really bad consequences or really bad beginnings and grew into it. Like, you know, Luke raped Laura, and then all of a sudden their wedding is the most watched, you know, episode of General Hospital in history. Daytime, you know, most watched daytime soap episode in history. So you tell me, what is it? You know, why compare, you know, Spencer and Trina to Luke and Laura? Why, you know, or Bo and Hope? I don't even know their backstory of how they met. You know, or, you know, Victor and Nikki on Y&R. I don't know what, you know, constitutes a super couple anymore, because to me, I think Luke's better wife was Tracy. I think Laura's had a better time with Kevin.
And yeah, I mean, the past is the past now. I mean, the whole Luke Laura thing is just, it was a legendary love story. You know, they had their time. They had, you know, they're a legend for a reason, because even if people, the one thing I've learned is people who don't even watch General Hospital have heard of Luke and Laura.
Right.
Because of how legendary they were.
Yep.
So they've had their time, and I'm happy for Laura that she's with Kevin now, and she seems very happy in that relationship, and I'm fine with it. And I think Luke and Tracy have their own kind of love story, and I like that he was brought up, you know.
Yep.
Recently, I like that there was that conversation where Tracy talked about him, and she talked about him to Gregory, right?
Yeah.
So that was nice. That was a nice conversation. I enjoyed that. And I think Tracy's kind of shown that she does have, you know, feelings and a crush on Gregory. And I don't know if he can tell that she has feelings for him, but he's probably too into his own health issues right now, you know, into his ALS thing for him to really pursue anything. Because yep. That thing with Alexis that he had with that one kiss, I think that was just, I'm glad that was just kind of like a one-time thing, and they didn't really pursue that, because that was just really just strange. I didn't think they really had chemistry like that. I think they have friend chemistry.
Right.
I think they're good as friends. I just don't think the chemistry is there as a couple. But him and Tracy, I feel like there's something there. I think if they kissed, I think there would be a spark. But you know, I don't know if they're gonna go there, because you know, he might be on his way out of the show, and then she's recurring. So it's, you know.
Yeah, exactly. They're not gonna go there.
Yeah, no. I think they're flirting. They flirt with the idea, but they're not gonna like pull the trigger on that because of the actor contracts or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so I think we've covered about everything from this week that was in General Hospital. Again, like I said, tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, right here where you're watching Dockside at the Bay. Him and I will be going over, I believe, episodes 9 and 10 of season 1 of The Bay, which is on Peacock, Tubi TV, Amazon Prime, and Popstar. Popstar is currently airing the new episodes at 4 p.m. During the week daily. And then a replay, I believe, at 9 p.m. Eastern. But they're not on demand on Popstar, which I found out today. So you can watch them on demand on Tubi. On the new season are on Tubi and Amazon Prime. And then Popstar at 4 p.m. every weekday. The older stuff is on Amazon, Tubi, and Peacock. So check those out where you find your, you know, on Peacock. And then this Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, Squared Circle News live right here where you're watching. And we'll be going over the WWE draft, WWE Backlash, and anything else that's going on, especially the King and Queen of the Ring tournaments with the culmination in Saudi Arabia coming up within the next month. All right. As always, at the end of the show, we're going to do our thankful minute. So I'm going to go ahead and put 1 minute on the clock. And as always, ladies first, Christy, here, go ahead with your thankful minute.
All right. Well, let me see. I'm thankful for my job. Thankful for an understanding and gracious boss. I am grateful for you for checking in on me during the week. I'm grateful for my dad, who's been doing a lot of my aunt's estate since she passed. That's a lot on him. He is trying to retire and also taking care of my mom. So he basically has like three jobs right now with all of that. So that's a lot on his shoulders, and I'm trying to get him to at least cut down, like, his hours have been cut down. So I'm grateful that he got his hours cut down, because there's a new person he's training to take over his role at work. So that's good. So I'm grateful for that. But the guy's having a baby like this month, so he's not going to really be taking over until next month. But grateful for that. Oh, I'm grateful for the nice people that have bought my aunt's trailer, who are cool with rehabbing it and moving in. And that's been a real blessing. So the trailer has been sold that my aunt used to live in. So that's a big blessing. And the people were really, really nice. And the process was, you know, it was kind of a long process to get everything transferred over, but it got done. So I'm hoping the family who moves in there, that they're nice, and maybe I can visit them and be like, hey, nice to meet you. You're in my aunt's trailer now, you know? Yeah. So that's it.
All right. Fantastic. All right. I'll go ahead and set the timer for mine. Again, same thing. I'm thankful for my job. I got a message today about like kind of the next steps for what I should do to grow my career there. So, you know, I'm happy with that. But I'm also happy that we're starting to get noticed a little more in terms of just media stuff. Kim went down to Florida over the weekend for a fundraiser event with the cast and crew of The Bay. It was called Samantha's Friends, or Samantha and Friends. It was a charity event, but she did get a really cool video with Gregory J. Martin, I should say, as well as Mike Manning and Eric Nelson, who are all part of The Bay. So I'll let her, you know, post that and share that. But it was really cool, and you know, even with this thing coming up in Texas next year. So just being noted, just the idea that we're getting noticed and being offered things, like the interview with David Penzer last, you know, a couple weeks ago, that was offered to me. It wasn't that I sought it out. So and being, you know, included in posts with other journalists and other, you know, podcasts, it's fantastic. So the name is getting out there, just got to keep growing. As always, this, go ahead and hit that like button, subscribe, get notified anytime something posts for Suds and Squared Circle. Tomorrow night, Dockside of the Bay, 10 p.m. Eastern here. Wednesday, Squared Circle News, 10 p.m. Eastern here. So check that out. And there's other stuff in the pipeline. So don't you worry. There's going to be more shows and more content being developed by Suds and Squared Circle Media going forward. All right. So for Christy, I'm Vinny. We will see you back here next week with more Suds news brought to you by Suds and the Squared Circle. Have a great day, everybody.